stepping on my feet. When I'm shooting for my goal, ain't no stepping in the crease. I'm guessing no told you I'm a legend in these streets. Won't stand for no disrespect and body check them on me. Yeah. My midi take they face off my city, never sleeps. Cross sticks on my duty, looking pretty with my cleats. Clash of the Titans, y'all just fighting to compete with the hand that rocks the cradle like Paul Rabel.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 26th, and this is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHH, where you will hear WNHHLP, where you will hear conversation, information, education, inspiration, motivation, and probably some sports from the American urban perspective. I am your host, Kingsley Osei, and my co-host, Shafiq, is not in here yet. Today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bold Minds and Twitter, also at Bold Minds. And you can also join me on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei. We are also broadcasting, streaming live through the New Haven Independent .org and its Facebook page. Today's topic will be sports and academic. And in the studio today, we have our very, very special guest, my friend, Donald Wilson of Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse. And as you could see, I surprised him with that Method Man intro of lacrosse anthem. What's popping, Don?
What's going on, fam? Blessings.
I shocked you with that intro, right?
That was beautiful, man. Thank you for that intro. That was very nice. Very nice. And, you know, that's a part of what we're trying to do is build this culture and connect this culture. And, you know, I've been trying to get you to get Method Man down here for a long time to talk to these kids about lacrosse. And so I'm excited that you played that drop. And that drop was created for our National Lacrosse League, which is called the PLL, the Player Lacrosse League. And Method Man is part of that ownership of the PLL with Paul Rabel. So, you know, he has his own clothing line within the lacrosse community now. And he is, you know, he's an actor, musician, you know, an activist, many, many, many hats he wears. So, you know, we're excited to have him a part of our lacrosse community and repping and be able to do that drop for us. So that's awesome. Thank you, brother.
I thought that intro would warm you up, get you ready to go, right?
Ready to go. Thank you for having me, though, brother. And
you already know, man. Look, man, I got a shout out to Miss Gwen Edwards of Our Lives News and News 12 on Frank Rick here. And everybody at Connecticut Post in the past that always supported Connecticut Against Violence whenever we had special events, because I know what it is for somebody to give you that platform and give you their voice to get your message out for what you're doing. So since I have that opportunity and that platform, I thought I would extend it to the community as well.
Well, you're doing amazing work in the community, Connecticut Against Violence. We've been around for a long time. We practically are coming up together and growing together. And, to see the impact of where we started and to where we are now, hey, let's just keep growing, brother. Bless, peace and blessings,
Peace and blessings. Today is going to be about you. Big shout out to my friend Keith Pierce. We call him Smooth. He's out there at Hardin High School. One of the great guys that, I have intellectual conversation with. And I was talking to him over the weekend and I told him, look, man, we have 15 minutes. It's like they call it the 15 minutes of fame. We have 15 minutes in every position that we are in. And when you're in that position, what do you do with it? Do you use it to, do for others, or you just use it to do for yourself?
Well, the greatest thing in life is, as they say, that famous quote is, it's rewarding to do for others, and your reward will come through that, through doing for others. So, we have been doing for others for a long time, and I think, this platform is awesome. And so, congratulations on this platform as well. So let's go.
All right. So talking about, Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse, I had opportunity when the pandemic started, I had opportunity to DJ for you guys virtually. And that's when I did my homework and was able to come up with that Method Man song that I played. Let's talk about it. I had a lot of fun DJ that event.
Oh man, so we're talking.
You have people from all over the world, by the way.
I did. So let me just give a little, you know, background about our little story here in Bridgeport, starting lacrosse in Bridgeport, Connecticut wasn't the easiest thing. As you know, we are basketball, football, soccer heavy community. And for me to be able to bring lacrosse into the community was, you know, is a great achievement, I think. We have, you know, started out, I knew nothing about lacrosse, and my son was going to a private school in Greenwich. You know, he loved the game, fell in love with the game. And I had to do my research as a dad, wanting to support anything that my kid is doing. And I think that's the greatest gift of all is, you know, of any parent is just, you know, being, having that thought to support your children. And that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, we started Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse in 2006. It was a great blessing. We, you know, I've had many angels along the way that has come and blessed us, whether it's equipment, whether it's opportunities, whether it's funding, whether it's taking kids outside of Bridgeport. We have provided all those services to our youth, and I'm very excited that we are still here continuing to deliver that service. And I know once we started, we were doing some music. We were doing music with the kids, and, you know, lacrosse was a sport that, you know, wasn't here. And we said, you know, let's try to bring something new to the community that's going to benefit the community in terms of scholarship. College, you know, financial aid, just non-traditional, something new that we realized that could benefit the community. And, you know, 13 years later, we are still here providing services. And one of the great things that, you know, you were talking about is, you know, we are now a part of an international, national community. I have been recognized, stories have been written about our program, from the development level of doing it as a grassroots movement. So starting from the bottom with nothing. When I first started, I like to say it was organized chaos because we didn't have the equipment that we needed. We didn't have the support that we needed. But we, you know, we persevere and we struggled and, you know, we were committed and disciplined and dedicated to the craft and to what we were doing. And for me, the biggest part of this game is actually knowing that this is the creator's game, right? Lacrosse has been here since the beginning of time. It's a sport that was given to the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And so there's a rich connection between African Americans and the Native Americans through this game and through our, you know, upbringing and through our struggles and our challenges, that this game was given to the Native Americans as a medicine game. So I will explain that a little bit. The medicine game is for the healing of the people. So the harder you play lacrosse, the better you feel, and it's used as a medicine. So in 1640, when the French Jesuits came over from Europe and they landed in Northern Canada, up there, upstate New York, they saw the natives playing this game and they did not know what this game was, right? And this, to the natives, this was a way of settling their wars, bringing peace to their communities, healing their communities. They would play this game over a 7 to 10 day period. And after they were done, you know, settling their wars or differences, they would have a big feast. And that's the medicine of this game, is the healing, the coming together, the sharing of ideas, and just the discipline of us being one with nature and being one with the creator. And that's what drew me to the game for my community, that healing aspect. Knowing that we could use this game to heal our community, that is what has really drawn me to this game. And the fact that Jim Brown, the greatest football player ever, one of the greatest football player ever at Syracuse, he was a three-sport All-American, and lacrosse was one of those sports that he really excelled in. And, you know, when he was coming out of college, you know, he said if there was a professional lacrosse league, that's what he would be doing. So, you know, all of those rich connections, you know, really fuel my passion for bringing this game to my community and sharing it with our community and impacting change within our community. So, you know, that was a lot, but, you know, I wanted to really give the history of the game and let people know that it's not a white people, a suburb game. This is an actual game with real significant meaning. And every time you step on the field, I tell my kids you're playing to make the creator happy.
Man, I love the educational part of it, man. It's a lot of passion, a lot of passion. And you know what? I have to big you up because, you know, that is something that, you know, we have in common. We did not come to this violence prevention industry trying to do what everybody else was doing. We brought something, something unique, something that wasn't supposed to be easily embraced.
Yes.
You know, and I loved it. I recall inviting you to come to the mayor's conference room for the monthly meetings, you know, because, you know, you needed their support. And, you know, you've been doing it from the ground. You needed their support. It's a lot of frustration. And it's good to see that now you're getting some type of support. Shout out to my sister, Terry Williams, who's, yes. I believe, is on board with yours. And,
yeah, she's on board with our organization here.
Right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeff Bays, who's a part of that.
If you see that picture you posted before, we have really made that connection to the Peak Pogussets,
right.
Native Americans right here in Trumbull, Connecticut. It's incredible that a lot of our families and parents don't even know that there's a Indian reservation right here in our backyard, and that connection that I've made with the reservation and Jeff and clan mother Sharon has been amazing. I am, you know, a high school lacrosse coach at Notre Dame Fairfield, and one of the beautiful things I do with our boys is I bring them over to the reservation for a thing that's called Blessing of the Sticks, and that is part of the medicine. And that is part of the healing. You know, we bring them over there and, you know, Clan Mother Sharon, she blesses all their stick. She prays for them before our season for healing, for prosperity, for, you know, just dedication to the craft of the game and to play it the right way, right? So we do that in the preseason to bring that connection. And it's a team building activity as well for our members. And I think that goes a long way throughout our season. When they're feeling low, they could refer back to that moment.
By the way, I did extend an invitation through Jeff for the clan mother to come out here and be featured during the Native American month. But Jeff haven't made it happen, so I can't call.
Oh, he will. I'm sure he will.
And now, shout out to my friend Ernie Pinnacola. I know you're trying to, you know, get me to invite him to join you today.
Yes, I wanted Ernie on here because I want to discuss this picture that I recently found of Haile Selassie meeting with a Native American because he wanted to, on his first trip over from Ethiopia, he wanted to make sure he met with the Native Americans because we are so close together. It's amazing. But I really wanted to see, you know, if he knew that picture and, you know, his thought, because the Native in the picture was a artist as well. So I just wanted to make that connection.
For all you who don't know, Ernie Pinnacola is a hip hop historian, photographer. Yep. I intend to invite him to join. Matter of fact, we do have an interview with Ralph McDaniels of Video Music Box to feature, who just released his documentary with Showtime with Nas on February 16th. And I believe I'll get Dr. Dre from UMTV to join us. And I may get Ernie to join us as well. So, you know, we have a very interesting show coming up at Black History Month. So, you know, big shout out to Ernie Pinnacola, Ralph McDaniels, and my friend.
Your event is coming up, Black History Month as well, right?
We, you know, a hip-hop expression of Black history, we, I don't think we are doing it because of the pandemic. Unfortunately, we didn't do it last year, And I mean, I know I've been getting a lot of phone calls, and some people, you know, as the pictures pop up on people's pages, you know, they still, you know, trying to figure out if we're going to do it. And that's a problem. You know, we go so hard to make things happen for our community at no cost. We take that beat down. And then when it's not, when it's not happening, they realize that they miss,
they miss something.
You know, but it's not so much of the people that miss it. It's so much of the people that just don't want it to happen for whatever reason. You know, they mess it up for, you know, for everybody else. Now, so today's show is about lacrosse and sports and education. Let's tie those two things together. What made you come up, you know, with that? It's nothing new, but you know, it's something that you decided to do your way, and not with the basketball program either, but with lacrosse. Let's emphasize on that.
So, you know, education is the biggest thing to me, right? Without it, that's the one thing. We've all heard our grandparents, our grandfather, grandmothers, our mothers say to us, education is the one thing that no one can take from you. What goes in your head, what you learn, is the one thing no one can take from you. So, you know, and for me, being an immigrant, coming from Jamaica, right, that was the that's the reason why we came here, to change our lives and to make our lives better. And each generation is supposed to do better than the last generation. And I'll just quickly share this story. My yard in Jamaica, my yard in Jamaica was called Big Yard, right? And it was called Big Yard because my grandmother was already in America, and she had migrated with one of my aunts here and my grandfather. And what she would do, and this I'm talking going back to the 80s, what she would do was import barrels of books, clothes, whatever, shoes, whatever, you know, barrels, food. And, you know, she would ship it back to the country, and we would distribute that through our throughout our community in Jamaica. So that what has been instilled in me is still a part of my life today. And I post on my Facebook page often these little sayings that says granny says, right? I'm a boy that grew with my grandmother, loved my grandmother, respected my grandmother. You know, your grandmother will give you that beating and you would know to straighten up, you know what I mean? So that is what has been instilled in me. And, you know, community was always a part of my life. You know, we were a village. So, for instance, in Jamaica, if you did something wrong in school and you had to pass your uncle, your aunt and your cousins and all of their houses on the way home, you'd be pretty nervous and pretty scared because your name on your last name meant something.
Right.
And it represented something. Right. Right. And, you know, you're disrespecting that. And the kids nowadays, they don't have that recognition, right, of their names meaning something. And I think the second that, you know, the elders, and I know they don't listen to the elders anymore. You see these kids in the street and they'll curse you out and stuff like that. But I think if we bring it back to your name and what the name mean and the significance of that within the community, you know, I think that is what I'm really struggling with to employ on our kids. Like, you represent something big, and education is a part of that, right? And if you take your education seriously, the sky's the limit. And that's what I've always impart on my students: education first. You're a student first, but then we use athletes the second part. I can develop you as an athlete, as a student athlete, but you have to do your part, right? And so we've always stressed the student part first. And then we help kids, because as a coach, I'll tell everybody this. As a coach, I can make kids do stuff that teachers can't. I definitely could do that, right? And teachers come to me and be like, I get calls from schools and like, hey, Don, this one is cutting up and, you know, I need you to talk to them over the weekend, make them do a couple of extra push-ups, make them run an extra lap, those are the things that I can inspire greatness in your kids, in our kids, by doing things differently, right? And by doing things differently, I mean, like, hey, we got to inspire greatness in these kids. We got to tell them about their history. And we got to tell them, like, what their names really mean and the significance of them having character, right, within the community. Because how people treat you out here in this world is very important to how you see yourself, right? And how you're going to develop as an adult from a child. So we really stress those values, those core values, to our members to help them develop that identity to be able to go out into the world and survive in any neighborhood, in any environment. Because that's the biggest thing my kids say to me, like, Coach Don, the preparation that you have made within us, we're able to go to college and survive. We're able to go into Greenwich or Darien, or, you know, whether we're still here in Bridgeport, we're able to survive. And that's a big component of what we try to do with our kids. Emphasize that education, but also develop that human characteristics within them.
It's very interesting because you and I have so much in common. You know, yeah. when you start to, you know, talking about culture, you know, being a yes. Ghanaian, you being a Jamaican, you know, the wisdom from our elders that we do not take for granted. You know,
yes, you know, yes, we don't take those for granted.
We don't. You know, people talk about gray hair. You know, it's,
yes,
they're trying to hide the gray hair. I try to hide mine, but you know, sometimes I try and remind myself that, yes, I got gray hair, and my gray hair represents the wisdom, that I do have.
And age lived, you know what I mean? Because for me and you, we survived the 80s and the 90s.
Definitely. We will touch on all that. But, you know, you talked about the specialty that your kids and your program have by you as a coach. And last week during our Agents of Change program, there were two students that we were defining and dissecting violence. What is violence? Defining and dissecting it. And one kid talked about, you know, being from Haiti, and, you know, the Haiti president being killed, and, you know, the stuff that's going on, you know, it's impacting them. You know, he feels some type of way about it. You know, you know, we talk about, you know, things being taken for granted. Another kid talk about, you know, being from, you know, Uganda. So, you know, I shared with the kids that they should be privileged to have these kids in their program and they go to school with, because they get to share what's going on outside the world of the United States. You know,
culture.
Culture, the things they take for granted. You know, these kids talk about, you know, you have to walk to school. There's no after school program. You know, you're lucky if you got a table and a chair.
Yep.
You know, you got that one pen that you use all the way until there is no more ink in
there. There's no more ink. You know, it's the number two. It's like that Shine Head song, being a Jamaican in New York. Right. You know what I mean? It's the way we walk, it's our culture, it's the way we talk. You know, and it's part of who we are. And,
right.
You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of that as Africans, as not Jamaicans, as Guyanese, or, you know, Trinidadians or Haitians. We shouldn't be proud. We should never be, you know, not proud of who we are as a culture. Because when you look at our skin, everybody wants to be black, but they don't want to be black. You know what I mean? They don't want what comes with being black. Right.
Right.
And so that makes us really, you know, really, really special as a nation of people,
right,
that we understand where we're coming from kings and queens. Right?
Right.
And to be able to walk that walk still in confidence and to really know who we are. You know, we have to really continue to stress that to our kids. And I think from a violence prevention standpoint, you know, just that it's hard to really tell the kids, like, they have to really change. And agents have changed, you know, this is what we want. We want you guys to change, to realize that you're coming from kings and queens. You shouldn't be killing each other out here in these streets, right? You're taking the best of our people sometimes away at an early age, and you're not giving our society a chance to really embrace the fullness of who we could be and who we are. So, you know, and this has been going back since, you know, slaves been jumping off ships in the ocean and stuff like that. You know, we, you know, the best of our people, sometimes we don't even know who they are because they haven't been able to shine their light, right? And you know, we as a people right now really need to take control of our community, especially us as Black men. You know, we really need to step up. And I know it's hard for us, but we really need to step up. And that's what I've been trying to do as a Black man, to inspire greatness into our kids. And I say, you know, action is character, right? Take action, right? Make sure you're, you know, taking action that's going to benefit you and your families in the long run.
This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHHLP. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. My co-host, Shafiq, is not in the studio today. And if you are just joining us today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bold Minds. You can also join me on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei. You can also, if you are listening to the radio and you are going outside the range, you can always tune into New Haven Independent Facebook page as well. In the studio, we have my dear friend Dan Wilson of Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse. Dan, I have to ask you. I know it's been a very long journey getting here. How did you manage to maintain with the a sports that is not a basketball where you really don't need as much, you know, you need your pair of sneakers and, you know, whatnot, but you actually need the tools to be able to play the sports. How did you maintain to get this far with, you know, source of funding? Sometimes you didn't have the funding, having a full-time job. I'm going to go into all that because you are there. Hey, man, you know, you got...
I got six jobs, brother.
You got six jobs. And look, let me tell you. Wee! Let me tell you. This is gonna be another part of the interview. You see what I'm drinking? You see what I'm drinking, right? You know,
that's a rum punch I drink.
No punch. Yeah, no punch, man. This is
that's the V8. That's the V8.
No, that's not a homemade V8. This is a combination of sorrel, which is hibiscus juice, and ginger, homemade ginger juice put together. In Africa, they call it sobolu. Sobolu.
So this in Jamaica, we just call it sorrel.
But this is not just sorrel. There is
we make it with ginger.
Right. Right. But this is the killer right here.
Okay. We gotta change recipe.
I'm gonna send you the recipe. I know you all about that. Dan used to own a restaurant too, by the way. So
we're gonna restaurant. Vegan, definitely, vegetarian.
Definitely very healthy. Dan, so yeah, let's get back to that. You know, how did you maintain to be able to, you know, get this far?
Well, lacrosse is a very small community still, right? Mm-hmm. It's still a very small, I like to still call it a fraternity.
Okay.
Right? And once you're in and you prove yourself and you have credibility, character, people really do trust you and come to support what you're doing, especially in my case where we're providing diversity to the game overall. Not just in Bridgeport, we're diversifying the game, and I've been recognized nationally for that diversity in the game, of creating that within the game. And, you know, we have been blessed by philanthropists, just regular folks just calling us up and donating equipment, donating their time, donating money, And we have really benefited. And I call each and every one of those people my angels, right? Because God is looking down on me doing this. And I say, I didn't play lacrosse. Someone had to chose me to do what I'm doing and still do what I'm doing. So I firmly believe in a higher power of someone, the creator, helping me along my path. And this is why I say my angels over the years that have come into my life and blessed me with whatever we need, whether it's administrative, we have been able to survive and do what we're continuing to do with our kids. And you know, it has been a blessing that has enriched my life. And like I say, that what has been instilled in me is still here today, right? And this is my legacy and my family's legacy and my mom's legacy, living on and giving back to our community, whether it's in Jamaica or whether it's here in America, giving back to the community. And I feel blessed every time one of my kids, you know, it's like that hearing that bell ring, ding. Oh, one has another ghetto youth make it out of the ghetto, right? One more ghetto youth make it out the ghetto, right? And we're sending kids to some really great schools. And I'm really happy about that. You know, that we're sending kids to become engineers, doctors. I have a bunch of kids that's in the military. We have kids now that are, you know, in finance and going off into the business world. And those kids, we are going to welcome them back to come back to our organization, whether it's giving back financially or of their time. This is what has made our organization special is, you know, that longevity is, you know, the giving back mentality. So it's a mentality of giving back. And I've preached that from day one.
Right.
We are a family. And, you know, I expect you guys to give back to this Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse, because as I said, we started as a grassroots program with nothing. I said organized chaos. I'll be the first person to say that. It was organized chaos.
Like the rap group, Organized Confusion.
I'm sure they got their minds right. You know what I mean?
Shout out to my guy, Pharoah Munch. You know, he was part of the Organized Confusion.
That's Pharoah Munch?
Pharoah Munch, that did a song, Simon Sick. Get the F up, Simon Sick.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my song.
Ladies, grab on your...
Yep, that's my song.
I used to the head coach of what do you call it, Notre Dame?
So, you know, this is part of my journey as well, right? So we, you know, over the years, like I said, once you have trust, you have credibility, you have standing within this community, you get opportunities. And the opportunities came for me 4 years ago to be the head lacrosse coach at Notre Dame Fairfield. And that was truly another blessing along my journey, because it has opened up so many doors for me and for our students to now play at a, you know, a really higher level, and to, you know, really really focus on what they want to achieve in life. And I'm there to help and guide them through that process. But, you know, through this experience, because I'm still the head coach there, I'm going to be the head coach there again this year, this spring. I'm very, you know, I said, I'm very blessed, because doors have been opened up to me, and those doors that's opened up to me has also been opened up to the community. And that's a blessing.
Your door is the community's door, basically.
Yes. Yes.
That's the way to put
and
it,
I
right?
Tell, and I tell all my parents, use me. Use me.
Yeah.
You know, my guy 50 Cent says, right? If you can't be used, you're useless.
You are useless.
You're useless.
Well, it's the same as, you know, I trying to do business with people, whether I'm chasing them for invoices or chasing them for quotes or whatever. And they say, yo, I'll be busy, busy. Busy?
Yo,
it's busy. Business. It's business.
It's business. Come on, man. Get this money. I'm trying to get you some money.
It's business.
It's business.
If you are busy,
that's one of the things.
You take that business somewhere else, right?
Somewhere else. this is one of the biggest challenges for us too, as you know, minorities trying to work with our community and, you know, keep the dollars within our own right. little circles. Right. You know, sometimes you're trying to deal with a friend right. and, you know, he tell you he's busy. Like, dude, I need my stuff now. I'm paying you. It's not next week. You know what I mean? I need it today. But, you know, that is part of the challenge. But like he said, if you can't be used, you're useless. And, right. you know, I try to tell my parents, like, I've been through all the streams in the educational system. So whether it's public school, right?
Right.
Whether it's private school, whether it's independent school, whether it's boarding school, I've been through all of those streams with my children, right? My son started out at Brunswick. That's an independent school. He's transferred to St. Joe's, which is a private Catholic school. And then he finished off at Kent Boarding School, which is upstate Connecticut. And he finished there and went off to Denison University and graduated from Denison University. Same thing with my daughter, went through the system. She started at Assumption School here in Fairfield and then went to St. Luke's Schools in New Canaan. And then she went to Southern Miss, graduated from Towson University in Maryland. Also got her master's degree from LSU, you know, which is big. That was what I am about, is education. My son now has also gained his, it's a secret, he's also gained his, you know, his master's degree. So I have two kids in my house with their, and my wife with their master's degree. I say I'm done. That's my contribution to them, is that education part. Now the rest is up to you. Your network should be your net worth. Right. So whoever is in your network should help you. What they say, Kingsley, if you are surrounded by 5 millionaires, right, who's going to be the next one?
That's got to be you, bro. It's got to be you, bro. It has to be you. And you can't.
It has to be you.
And you also have to surround yourself with people smarter than you. That is rule number one. That's rule number one. And yes. you know, and even if they're not smarter than you, it's okay. It's got to be a balance, because it's not always about people that's going to uplift you. You should be trying to uplift others as well. So you know, yes. I hear this saying about, you know, surround yourself with, you know, certain type of people, and there has to be a balance, because
a balance.
It's not all about what people can do for you. It has to always be, you know, you picking up the phone because somebody needed that assistance. I'm a firm believer.
Like you said, it's not all about what people can do for you.
Right.
And I think once you surround yourself in that circle, it's a us, right? We're in this together, right? And you know, I had a great friend one time, and I'll say this was a great, great friend, right? He said to me, "Don, if we are friends and I can't come to your house and, you know, throw up my feet and, you know, act like your house is my house,
right,
we ain't friends."
Right.
We ain't friends.
Right. I shouldn't be asking you to go get me a drink. You should be able to go to the fridge and get you a drink.
Yeah.
You know? You know, let me sit back with my leg crossed and flip these channels. You go get your own juice.
Go get your own juice, bro. Come on now. We're buddies. We're friends. We could trust each other. You know what I mean? Those are the kind of people I surround myself with.
Let me take a moment and give a shameless plug. You know, we are currently running our Agents of Change program, MBK Youth Action Team, which is my brother's Keeper Youth Action Team. We are doing the violence prevention cohort, which means we are defining, dissecting, and discussing violence. We do have a session today, which is domestic violence session. And I'm, you know, I encourage, we got a few spots left. I encourage you to get your youth registered. I can be reached through my email. It's cityagainstviolence@gmail.com. Or, you know, you could reach me through my Facebook page and I will send you the registration. Please get your kids registered and let's give them the tools to prevent violence. You know, they may live in, you know, in a very nice neighborhood and go to school at Basic, but, you know, they got to get through the bodega store and a few spots in order to get home. And, you know,
if they can't survive in these streets,
you know, and, you know, they got to survive in school too, because it's very real that, there is a lot of violence.
A lot
of bullying going on in the schools.
A lot of trauma going on in school. A lot of, you know, degradation and stuff like that. So, you know, you have to tool and give these kids the power to be in control of their life.
And one more second, by the way, you know, some of the incentives is, you know, we send a mail to their home and have mail catered to their home the day after the program. They get this nice hoodie that I have on, Agents of Change hoodie, a T-shirt, a real backpack, and a face mask, all branded by Agents of Change. Big shout out to the city of Bridgeport Violence Mayor's Youth Initiative Program. So, you know, get your kids registered. Done. You know, we've been trying to partner to, you know, this event. Let's talk afterwards. So you are also preventing violence through sports. So let's make that clear. Now, you do have annual events that you do. I recall I came to one of those events. You invited me, and I actually came down there to show the kids my skills of playing field hockey.
Field hockey.
You remember that?
You mean, man? So for everybody who does not know,
hold on. Hockey, how is my stick
field
work?
Field hockey is played by men.
Right.
And
it's not a women's sport.
It's not a women's sport at the international level.
Right.
Field hockey is played by men. You will only see women in America playing field hockey.
Right.
But internationally, you know, if you go to South Africa.
I was playing in the league in Ghana, by the way.
In Ghana.
I was playing in the league. I was nice. You tell me I wasn't nice when I was teaching your kids how to play.
You was nice. You still have some skills.
I still have some skills.
But this is what we try to do, is introduce our kids to non-traditional sports, right? And like you say, through these sports, we teach our kids character, sportsmanship. We mentor them, leadership skills, leadership training. And this is the key. This is the component that we use and empower our youth to take control of their life and to take ownership of their lives, right? Because once you tool a kid and give them the proper tools and say you build that confidence in them, right? At an early age, if you give kids confidence to be able to say no. And I'm going to recommend a book that I read a while back, and it's called The Greatness Guide by Robin Shimura, right? It's called Greatness Guide. And in this book, it teaches you how to say no. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we are so open and, you know, given and da-da-da-da-da that everything is yes, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to learn how to say no. That's not for me. And so to teach a kid that, right, to make good decisions from an early age and to own their space and own their lives, that is that's a rewarding tool that you could give to these kids, right? And then the violence prevention part, being able to mentor a kid and say, hey, I did that. That's not what you want to do. I did that. I went down that road. And a lot of times when we say to these kids, yo, I survived the 90s and I survived the 80s, and they have no clue what you're talking about,
right?
until you break it down to them.
Right.
Or until they see that movie, that documentary that came out there's a bunch of documentaries, but one came out a while back. I think it's called Cocaine or something like that. Right.
Cocaine Cowboys. Was it Cocaine Cowboys?
Nah, that's a movie.
Okay,
this one was a documentary that came out a couple of a while back, and it actually shows you the 80s and the 90s and how the FBI and CIA was bringing in the drugs and wrecking our communities. And we, you know, as a young black man, you have no clue about that higher level, what's going on at the top, but you at the street level, all you see is the violence, all you see is the money. All you see is a fast life, and you get attracted, and, you know, as a young black man, owning your space and owning, like, you know what I mean, having wealth at that age, is a powerful drug in and of itself. So being able to teach these kids, like, hey, I went down that path. I survived that. I'm still here. And now I want to give this wisdom and understanding and knowledge back, give it back to the community. So that way you don't have to go down that road. You have choices. So the biggest thing for my organization is to make these kids understand that they have choices and options, right?
And there are consequences for choices too, by the way. Let's take the tennis player that was supposed to defend
in Australia right now.
Australia, you know. Yeah. Because of his
Novak Djokovic.
Right. Because of his anti-vaccination,
stance.
Now, he had to be
suffering.
He had to be deported back. So there are consequences to choices. That's your choices. They also have choices that if you are not vaccinated, they don't want you in their country or they don't want you in their sport. So yes, there are consequences for choices. But you still didn't talk about the event that you do every year.
I've tried to figure over 13 years. I always try to figure out ways to engage the entire community on a whole. So, the last 4 years, we have come up with this concept called Peace Week. And Peace Week is a week here in the city of Bridgeport. This year will be June 4th through June 11th, where we have activities every day of the week and the culmination June 11th at Seaside Park with Juneteenth and our sports festival. That's going to be huge this year. So, during the week, we have a gospel fest. We have a kickoff event. We have a poetry slam. We have a comedy fest. We have a coaches award summit. And then we'll have a prep rally. And then on Saturday, we'll have the culmination of our middle school sports championships all at Seaside Park. So all the teams, all the sports, we're doing flag football, kickball, and track and field this year, and a lacrosse tournament. All of this will be at Seaside Park on June 11th. So we just, we're going to continue to promote this heavy to get more kids down. And the goal of this is to sign up about 300 kids for our summer Sports for Peace summer camp. And that's going to be a free camp this year for the community. Nice. This is going to be a really great. I believe in an outdoor classroom. So these kids are stuck inside classrooms all year. We're going to take them outside. We're going to build an outdoor classroom. We're going to give them all of those tangible benefits. But we're also going to take them on field trips. There's a hiking trail right at the park that we do. It's connected to the Discovery Museum. There's an adventure park hiking. What is that? The swings, the zip line courses. So the kids, they come up there, and we have our STEM program, our esports program at Housatonic as well. That the kids will come up there, and we engage them on a holistic approach. I try to create the ultimate camp that I didn't have when I was a kid, right? The ultimate camp that I did not have when I was a kid. All the bells and whistles, all the great things that, whether you want to go swimming, whether you want to go hiking, whether you want to go, just go to the zip line courses or the rope courses, or you want to do a STEM project, launch a drone or launch a rocket. All of those things that, as a kid, we used to fly kite. You know what I mean? We used to fly kite, but now they could launch a rocket, right? I think it's just amazing, like, that kind of... And I say to myself, I wish I had someone like me when I was growing up.
On that note, Don, you are a DJ such as myself.
Oh, gosh. Damn, you're taking me everywhere today.
Because we're about to end the segment anyway. We are DJs such as myself. And I recall when the pandemic started and I was doing my, live DJing, I decided to do a reggae
inspiration.
every Sunday, inspiration, educational, planes, yeah, you know, planes, like the Lucky Dubai, and, you know, digging. And you came on one day and you were so shocked. You was like, Kingsley, I can't believe this tunes.
This tune and where I play.
You know,
some yellow man.
I was digging, son.
Tennessee.
I was digging. And you were talking about, you was trying to encourage me that I should go battle or whatever. I said, you're crazy. I can't battle. I'm just having fun with this.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, like you said, we had an online event around that time as well, right? We had an online, during the pandemic when the schools were closed and it was a shutdown. And there was no graduations going on for the kids or anything like that. An idea came to me. Why can't we have an online graduation party for the kids, right? And we came up, we did it. You know what I mean? I had a chef that came on early in the morning that made a special breakfast for the kids. And, you know, they were supposed to go out and get their stuff so they could cook it themselves, you know, try to make it interaction. And then we had kids that from all over the country that came on and talked about their experiences and what it meant, like during shutdown, lockdown, to them to not be able to graduate with their friends and with their peers. And, you know, that was an interesting event, because then we had you come on and play some music for the kids.
Yes.
We had a party.
Yeah,
and the kids call it, they call it a darty, a day party. Darty. So back then, we were having a darty.
A lot of fun. Hold that thought. We're going to sign off. But before we sign off on the radio, I want to play the Method Man song that I was playing before for the intro. It's 1:51.
Done by my boy, Eric Sherman.
This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 WNHHLP. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. And if you are just joining us in the last part of our show, you can follow the conversation on Facebook at Bull Minds. You can also follow me on my Facebook page, my Instagram page at CAVB. Hold on one second. I actually wanted to play it with the video. I'm not sure why my sound was not sharing. You can also stream this show and previous shows on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. Thank you for joining us. Remember, Urban Talk Radio airs every Wednesday at 11 a.m. We still have in the studio Dan Wilson of Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse. Now go ahead and play that outro. Big shout out to our producer, Harry Dross. Harry, can you play that for me, please?
Stepping on my feet when I'm shooting for my goal, ain't no stepping in the crease. I'm guessing nobody told you I'm a legend in these streets. Won't stand for no disrespect and body check them on me. My midi take they face off my city, never sleeps. Cross sticks on my duty, looking pretty with my cleats. Clash of the Titans, y'all just fighting to compete with the hand that rocks the cradle like Paul Rabel or Beast. I'm a gladiator, no denying I'm elite. Don't mean to step on your toes, but I ain't trying to see defeat. If it's a cold world, I'ma keep applying the heat with the sickle of 42, fortifying my bleed. I carry your big stick, I'm picking my shot. You think I'm tacky, I'm thinking should I stick them or not. Call a tech, the ref tripping, it's fitting to be hot. I'm a menace, too many minutes in the penalty box.
We hit the field like, all day like, all night like, and we fight like, offense like, defense like, whole squad like, we hitting y'all like. What it sound like, what it sound like, what it sound like, what it sound like.
Get on it. and that is going to be so huge once the culture catch up to this.
Right.
You know, right. Once the culture catch up, like, because a lot of people still don't realize that Method Man played lacrosse on Long Island. You know, he was really good at Hempstead High School.
Right.
Really, really good lacrosse player. And, you know, a lot of people don't recognize that. And I think once, you know, Jim Brown, Method Man, and these names, like, you know, and I know our culture doesn't really keep up with, like, certain things, and with, like, education, like keep up with that. Just try to keep up and expand your knowledge of what and who came before, so that way you have that reference point. Like, hey, Method Man played lacrosse. He was good at it. And he could have went to college, but, you know, he's a fly. He's a B-boy, you know, and he's making records now. But to see him come back to what where he started is really special to lacrosse, to diversity, and to the culture, hip-hop culture as well, because it's making that transition. It's making that transmission.
He's not even making records now. He's doing movies.
He's doing movies. Yeah, so, you know, he's going to start, you know, and his clothing line and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you talked about virtual events. I recall when I was trying to convert my youth summit, which I normally do at Housatonic Community College, to do it virtually. And I was running into a roadblock when they didn't think that was possible or shouldn't have been done. And I, you know, I'm not a person that takes no for answers very easy. I'm very innovative. I'll kick them doors. I'm a trendsetter. You know, I'm not a follower. So I'm trying to set.
Follower at all, bro.
I'm trying to set something that you haven't seen before or haven't seen it done. So you are resisting. And meanwhile, I have it visualized and, how it's going to be done, and it was very resistant, but I did it. And why did I do it? I did it because there were two people that I know had did it. President Obama was involved with the commencement with LeBron James. I watched how they did it on CNN. I spoke to DJ Santos one day, and DJ Santos said Chris Webby did something like that at 420. So, you know, he appointed to me the guy that did the whole production, you know. So, you know, he wasn't cheap, but he was the right guy to do the job, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I brought him on board, and we were able to pull out the youth summit. Big shout to Dr. Adolph Brown and, who came on as the keynote speaker. And we were able to do that. Big shout to, it was President Obama's personal assistant back then, who was also part of our keynote speakers, and we were able to pull that off, you know. So, you know, I'm not about, you know, that's why I commend you for, you know, doing this.
Not
doing what everybody else is doing, because it's very easy to achieve what everybody else is doing. But what's the goal? What was the outcome? You know, how was that violence preventive, you know? And I commend what you're doing. But before we leave, you once owned a restaurant.
yes.
And it was a health food
restaurant.
What inspired that, by the way? And I know you had to juggle through that with everything that you was doing, trying to go into meetings as an executive director of your organization. I know that is not easy. People think a nonprofit and they think you got to work for free. You know, but they never think of how you got to go get the resources in order to give these resources and tools to prevent these kids from the violence.
As you say, you can't, you have to be able to take care of yourself first, right?
First,
before you can help anybody else.
Anybody. I've been told that many times.
Right. And I've been taught that, and I've been told that. And, you know, again, I go back to Big Yard. You know, grandmother was already here when she was sending stuff home so we could distribute to the community. So, you know, I mean, always, if you're going into anything, make sure you could take care of yourself first and your family first, right? Because if you're, you know, if your home isn't right, then nothing is right, right? The restaurant came. I eat vegan, vegetarian. I do eat fish once in a while, like a pescatarian. They call it a pescatarian.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I've been going to, you know, I love New York. That's why I live right here close to New York. But New York sometimes have the best food, bar none, right? And there was a particular restaurant that I always visited in the Bronx. It's called Katashi's. It was on East Gun Hill Road. And then there was another one, Vegan Delight, that was up on Boston Road. So between those two restaurants, you know, one or two times a week, I would go down to the Bronx after I got out of work in Greenwich. I would fly down to the Bronx and stock up on a bunch of stuff that I really, really wanted and loved, like, you know, vegan treats and stuff like that, because I don't really eat a lot of stuff. I don't eat nothing out of a can. So I really like to have my food fresh and that kind of thing. So, you know, I got to talking to one of the owners one time, Katashi, and, you know, he was looking to expand his brand outside of the Bronx. And I was looking to bring good food to my community, as I'm always trying to feed my community. Everything I do is about feeding my community. You know what I mean? If it's good for me and if it's good for everybody, if it's good for, you know, bring it in, you know. So we had, I bought in a healthy restaurant, vegetable patties, a lot of vegan dishes. One of my good customers, Dr. Kevin Muhammad, you know, he was my guy. He always supported us. And Vernon Thompson is another one who always supported. Yeah, shout out to those guys who were always in support of what we were doing there.
I came down there. I came down there a few times. You know, I wasn't easy, you know, because you know, I don't eat everywhere, and you know, you just mentioned about non-canned food. I don't do canned food, and I got to shout to my wife. We never fed our daughters right with any canned food at all. She's been eating everything, you know, from scratch.
Yeah, man. Same thing with my kids.
Carrot, apple juice, whatever it is, she's been eating everything.
It ain't coming from no can.
No, it's not, you know.
Yeah, I think can has to do with a lot of our health issues. So I'm not even going to go into that. People have to do their own researches. But, you know, one of the things we're still doing, Kingsley, I'm still making the Irish mosh juices that we used to make in the restaurant.
I used to come there for the juices. That's what I used to do.
The Irish mosh juices. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things we were really good at was our Irish mosh. We made a strawberry mosh, a mango mosh, make one called a dapa, what the girl them proper. And then we had, you know, our sorrel and our that one went over your head, bro.
No, I didn't. I'm listening.
So, you know, we had our ginger pine and our sorrel. And so I'm interested to see the difference.
Okay.
How you make your sorrel and how we make, because it was boiled and with the ginger in it, infused in it.
Right.
So it was boiled together.
Okay.
But that was our restaurant. And we, you know, unfortunately, COVID came, you know, and the building owner sold the building during the same time. And I luckily realized that this new landlord was going to try to just jerk me around. And I said, no, I'm not having it. I have other things I could be doing. So I was out. And that was the end of the restaurant. But, you know, if I ever own a restaurant again, I'll tell people, I have to own the building. I have to own the building. Ownership is everything. And property and land. And hey, if there's anything you could buy for your kids, buy them some property. So that way, you know, when they're 20 and 25, they have something that they could call their own. And it has incurred some kind of interest over the years. But ownership is everything. I would never rent another spot and say I was going to run a business like that. Because once they see that you're making a little bit of money, now they want to raise your rent and these kind of things. And you can't survive like that in business.
No, you can't.
Got to have ownership.
So, Dan, how can you be reached?
So, yes, we are everywhere. I'm about to be blitzing your child's school here in Bridgeport. I also did some work in New Haven last summer where I'm getting a lot of calls right now.
Okay.
Come back to New Haven this summer and continue doing that work we were doing. But you could reach me. We have our website. It's bridgeportyouthlacrosse.org. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, we're on Twitter. My cell phone, you can reach us out at 203-273-6084. Or you can send me an email at bridgeportyouthlacrosse.org. I'll say it again, bridgeportyouthlacrosse@gmail.com. bridgeportyouthlacrosse@gmail.com.
Dan Wilson. Thank you very much. You know, love you, brother. I love everything that you're doing.
I love you too, brother.
The city of Bridgeport and the state of Connecticut definitely appreciate.
And international, man, we are chatbot. We're in Uganda, we're in Kenya, we're in Jamaica, we're in Haiti. We're doing big things around the world. The World Games is coming up in 2022 in San Diego. You know, we'll be sending teams from all over the world to these World Games. So Haiti, Uganda, Kenya, Jamaica, you know, Costa Rica, in the Latin Americas, you know, so this game is growing by leaps and bounds. And by 2024, I think is the next Olympics, we will have lacrosse in the Olympics. So I would encourage everyone, get your kids involved in sports, not just lacrosse. I'm not just promoting lacrosse. We have flag football, we have track and field, we have soccer. But get your kids back active, because one of the most unhealthy things I've seen from our community is while we are sitting back, not doing anything, the white community is out here heavy with their kids, traveling, playing games, taking their vaccination if they have to make sure their kids get what they need. So while we are sitting waiting and saying we're not going to vaccinate our kids, time is not waiting for us. And I'll leave you with this, Kingly. My grandmother always said, time is the master, and time can be disaster if you don't care.
On that note, right? Thank you. Well, thank you very much for that wisdom. Harry, take us away. Until then, we'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Blessings. One love, all.
One love, Dan.
Yeah, man. Blessings.
Harry, any outro music?
Oh yeah, you have to play it. You have to play the original. Yes, sir. Give thanks and praise. Blessings, everyone. And stay safe.
Turn it up, Harry. Turn it up. Turn it up, Harry.
Method Man, produced by Eric Sherman. I get paid in full. That's my joint.